Hi, and welcome to the Salvation Army Southwest podcast. You'll find engaging messages here, so please go ahead and listen and check out some of our other messages and enjoy what you hear. You can always follow us online on our Facebook page or go to our website to find out more information. Thank you for listening.
Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we invite you here today. We invite you to have your way in our lives. Have your way in our hearts, have your way in our minds, have your way in our church, have your way in this community. Speak through me and speak to us clearly in the name of Jesus. Amen. As I said, we're in this series, Make a Move, and it's the final week of this series of Make a Move. And the focus idea is really that God wants to take us from glory to glory. And that comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, that says, with unveiled faces, beholding as a mirror the glory of the Lord, and being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as the Spirit of the Lord, or just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So it's really a series that reminds us that God wants to take us from one place to another, from glory to glory, from blessing to blessing, from the old to the new, and from one place to another. And we serve a God that doesn't want us to get complacent. Right?
All right.
We serve a God who doesn't want us to get complacent, doesn't want us to get comfortable. We serve a God that doesn't want us just to be Sunday church Christians that are gathering together on a Sunday and then forget about him for the other 6 days of the week. We serve a God, and God wants us to be a people of power. Amen?
Okay.
God wants us to be a people of power that moves through his land, through his territory under the power of the Holy Spirit, retaking the ground that the enemy had taken from us. God wants us to step out in faith, to step out and to make a move, to bring him glory and honor, and to take new places and new spaces and get into new ministries for him. We've been in this series looking at the story in 2 Kings. And if you remember, if you were here a few weeks ago, we were in 2 Kings. We looked at four lepers. And these four lepers, if you remember the story, they said to themselves, if we stay here, we're going to die. And if we go back into the city, we're going to die there because there was a famine. But if we move forward, if we go somewhere new, if we go into the enemy's camp even, then maybe, just maybe, we will live. And it's an incredible story. You can podcast it. It was from a few weeks ago. And then we went from that simple idea that they decided to make a move. Because if we're going to make a move for God, we need to decide to make a move. That's the first thing we've got to do. And then we moved to the story of the Israelites crossing over the Jordan River. And we looked at this idea that once we decide to make a move, we need to work out what move to make. Right? You remember? Who was here for it? Show of hands, a few people. Maybe I should recap the whole thing. But Joshua chapter 3, we were looking at this idea, make a move. And what move do we make? And we worked out we need to get synchronized with God. That we need to be like this. When God moves, we move. That when he raises his hand, we raise our hands. Being that close that our heartbeats are connected, our lives are connected, and we synchronize everything we've got with him. And that's the move to make. And once we did that, once we discovered that, then we went on to say, give five practical tips from the same passage from Joshua chapter 3. Five practical tips on how to make a move. And we looked at five things last week, and you can grab that off the podcast or YouTube or wherever you catch up on. But I want to wrap this series up today, this Make a Move series, with a simple yet powerful thought, or a simple and powerful idea. Right? If you come for a big exposition of the scriptures, you're not getting it today. You're just getting a singular thought kind of deal, right? And this thought is very, very powerful. And it comes from John 16, verse 7. And I'm taking it from the New King James Version. You know it's serious when you go to the King James, right? So we're going to the King James. It says this, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you." If you're taking notes, I want you to write this next thing down. If you're not taking notes, then write this down. because this is important. And if you capture this, it's going to change everything for you. Are you ready for it? I don't know if you are ready for it. You're ready for this thought. It's going to change everything about how you make a movie. Are you ready? Yes. No, I still don't think you're ready. Are you ready? Yes. Okay, here's the thought. As Christ followers, you ready? Yes. You sure? As Christ followers, we have the advantage. It's powerful, right? Not one amen in the whole place. Maybe online can give me an amen. Oh, I've got some hearts online. There you go. Come on, online is responding better than you guys are, right? We have the advantage. We have the advantage. Yes? As Christians, we're not some broke down, beat up, messed up people. The church is not a crutch. Our faith is not a crutch. We're not a group of pitiful people just sort of sitting here going, whoa, and crazy people and weak-minded people. We have the advantage. And I'm telling you that God is for us, then who can stand against us? Who can stand against us? If God is for us, who can stand against us? Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. The Lord is on our side, is he not? He's on our side. Whom shall we fear? We are the victors. We're not victims. We're not some crazy people. We are the victors. And the world might try and tell us that we are this beat down, broken, pitiful people who hold on to some crazy idea of faith. The science, but we have the advantage. Amen? We have the advantage. And if we're going to make a move for God, to know that we have the advantage gives us the, it just opens up your mind to go, look, I could do whatever and make whatever move for God because we have the advantage. We have the advantage. If we know, we know. Let me back up. We know that our Redeemer lives, yeah? We know that Jesus conquered the grave and gave us life and life to the fullest. We're not the victims, we're the victors. We're not just the mess, we're the message. We're not just the head, we're the head, we're not the tail. We're above, we're not below. We are triumphant in our trials. We have the advantage. Our God is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And when we believe in him, we have the advantage. Come on, say it with me. We have the advantage. Say it again. We have the advantage. One more time. We have the advantage. We have the advantage in life. But I've got to admit something right now. There have been times in my life where I don't feel like I've had the advantage. No amens to that. There were periods of my life and moments in my life, in my walk with God, where I didn't feel like I had the advantage. Come on, who's with me? Who's with me? Yeah, every single person in the room pretty much. There have been times where nothing has gone right and I feel like the world is crazing down, the enemy's coming in and attacking, and I just feel like giving up. If we're honest, it's easy to say we have the advantage, but there are times when it just doesn't look that way to me, and I'm sure it does to you as well. And the problem is, when we don't see it from a perspective of we have the advantage, then we settle for whatever we are in. This must be as good as it gets. We've said that, right? I've said it. Well, this is just my lot in life. These are all things we've said, isn't it? Like, come on. We settle for less than what God wants for us. Because we think that's all that's going to happen. Because our natural eyes and what's happening around us just beats us down, and we settle. And sometimes we settle for much, much less than what God wants for us. Do you hear what I'm saying? Right? Easy to say we have the advantage, but we settle. We just settle for it. And today I just want to get through to some people that we have the advantage. Regardless of what the situation looks like in front of us, we have the advantage. And there's this story in It's famous for some people, if you've been in churches for a while, in Isaiah 43. And if you're going to get your Bibles out, you can go to Isaiah 43. We'll just look at a couple of verses there. But it's the people of God, and God kind of comes in and speaks to them, right? But they find themselves in a place where they had settled. They had settled for the status quo. They were in captivity. They were oppressed, and they had settled for what was, instead of actually grabbing all that God had for them. And God kind of comes to them. Isaiah 43, if you got it, we'll get the words up on the screen. If you've got your Bibles, we're going to start at verse 1. But this is God speaking now through the prophet Isaiah to the people of God. And he says this, "But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine." This is a but now powerful moment. Say but now. Come on, you can do better than that. Like, pretend you've had your espresso coffees. You're excited to be here. But now. This is God interrupting the people in the middle of their settledness, in the middle of their given upness. He's interrupting them going, "I know what you're going through. I know you've been under captivity. I know that things have been hard. I know that you've not been treated well. I know there's been obstacles that you've had to face and it's been daunting. I know the trials and the troubles that you're in. I know the issues you're facing. But now I need to tell you something, that you are not left alone, that I am with you." He's saying, "But now you're not lost. I can redeem you from here. Like you need to know. But now I haven't forgotten about you." And this is God saying, "But now you need to know you're special to me." And this is God speaking this to the people of Israel. Remember, this was His chosen people, but they had given up on what God wanted to do for them, and they stopped short of all the blessings, all the glory that God had for them. And He's saying, "But now you are special. But now I know you. But now I formed you, I created you. But now you are mine." And whenever you own something, you kind of treat it a little better, don't you? Yeah, you do. And He's saying, "I haven't forsaken you. I haven't forgotten you." This "but now" is almost God saying to him, "I'm going to step in and do something. And you're going to see it. It's going to be miraculous. But now." Then He goes on, verse 2. "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, you will not be swept over. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. And when you through the flames, you will not be set ablaze." Verse 3. "For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt to you for a ransom, Crush and Sebel in your stead." I love how God gets the people, His people, to remember just who He is, their Savior. And if you track past in the past, God had saved them over and over and over and over and over and over again. There's 13 over agains just in the book of Judges. Right? God had saved His people over and over again, and some of them through miraculous means. But God is just simply saying, "Do you remember who I am? Do you remember the advantage you've got with me on your side?" Because these guys had forgotten that point. The fact that God was with them, that God could do all things, that God was powerful, that God was providing for them, that God was there for them, that He loves them. They had forgotten all of that, because all they could see was the trouble and the obstacles they were in. They forgot that they had an advantage. They forgot that they had an advantage. Verse 4 then goes on, it says, "Since you are precious and honored in my sight." This has nothing to do with my sermon, but just let me have a minute here. Let that one sentence soak in. "Since you are precious and honored in my sight." You're precious to God. with all your faults and your failings, you are precious in God's sight. After making all the mistakes that you have made, you are precious. Let that soak in. Precious to God. After sinning time and time and time again, some of which you know about, some of which you don't, but after screwing up and the mess that you are, and let's face it, we all know we're sinners, we all know we've fallen short. After all of that, we are still precious to God. Let that soak in for a minute. I think it's crazy to think how a God of the universe who breathed out stars and set the moon and the planets in place thinks that I am precious with all my faults, failures, sins and messed upness. Let it soak in. Since you were precious and honoured, not just precious but honoured in my sight, and because I love you, I will give people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for your life. This would have sounded crazy to the people of God because they were in captivity. And God is saying, I'm gonna exchange and give you people. And he starts to talk about drawing them from the north, south, east and west if you follow the rest of the chapter. So, these guys are in that captivity. Their spirit was a spirit of given upness. They were slaves, so they probably thought they'll be just slaves forever. This is our lot in life. What comes what the Lord says? He who made a way through the sea and a path through the mighty waters, verse 17, who drew out the chariots and the horses and the army and reinforcements together, and they laid there never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Clearly the words haven't come up on the screen. But you could read it for yourself, verses 16 and 17, Isaiah 43. This is a direct reference to the people of God crossing over the Red Sea, isn't it? A direct reference of how God brought them out of captivity, out of slavery, out of that place, and took them through, and then drowned, really, the Egyptian army behind them, laying them to waste. How God could do all this, and he's saying, remember, I am the one. This is what God is saying. Remember, I am the one who saved you from captivity. Remember, I am the one who made a way through the desert. Remember, I am the one that provided manna for you. Remember, I am the one who brought you through the desert and gave you food to eat. Remember, I am the one who saved you from your enemies and laid them to waste. Remember, I am the God who can do anything. You can't even believe what I can do, God is saying to him. I've provided for you, I've been there for you. And it might look like this or it may look like this, but I with you have, and you have the advantage. You know? And he's saying, remember all of this stuff. All this stuff that I've done. And then he goes on verse 18, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. Hang on, God, you just told us to remember it all. Now you're telling us to forget it all? Like, I hate when the scripture does this. It tells you one thing and then tells you to do the complete opposite. Because you kind of sit there going, well, come on, God, which one is it? Like, but I think God is trying to get through to the people that he is the God who can do everything. Although I've done all this stuff before, and remember that I've done all this stuff before, remember actually who I am, not what I've done. Does that make sense? He's saying, you know, I have a track record to get you through. I have a track record of helping you out. I have a track record of providing for you. I have a track record of doing miracles and signs and wonders in your midst. I parted seas. Remember, I've got a track record of doing the impossible for you. Now, forget the actual act because this is where it gets really interesting. Verse 19, I see, and this is what it says, see, I'm doing a new thing. So in other words, remember that I can do all things, but I'm going to do something new now. I'm going to do something even crazier, even mightier, even more powerful. I'm going to take you from glory to glory, from the old to the new, from where you were in that blessing to a new blessing over here. And this is God saying, see, I'm going to do a new thing now. It springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. In other words, I'm even going to create water in the place where there's no water. And I'm going to create streams where there's no streams in wilderness places. He's going to do stuff that will just poof, blow our mind. because God can do whatever he wants to do whenever he wants to do it. And if we have God on our side, then we have the advantage. But the people of God had actually forgotten they had the advantage. Let me see if I can show you this in a picture format, because I was sitting there yesterday going, God, I know my sermon's a bit jumbly, but I'd really just want to tell them they've got the advantage. And then God reminded me of a little illustration, and I'm wondering if I can pull this off today. Who do you reckon the smallest adult is in the room, Lainey? Can I borrow you, Lainey? Or Zoe, I don't care who I borrow. Come over here.
Thank you.
You can hold, can you just hold that? Well, it's not the first time I've picked on you, so you know. Let's just pretend, and you can put yourself in this category. That's you, or me, right? Jason, can you come up here for a second?
Oh, yeah.
We're going to play a little game of tug and war here. You want to just move down that way? Jason, come on, hurry up. Don't trip down the stairs. That would not be good. Paperwork's horrendous. All right, come and hold this end. Right, come and hold this end. And let's pretend this is the obstacle, the trial, the thing that's in our way. Like the thing that we look at and go, well, we can't beat that. And if these guys were to square off in a tug of war, who do you reckon's going to win? You're going to win? Why are you going to win?
Well, obstacle is just
an
obstacle.
I'll bet
you
win because you're my niece.
No. You see, the point here is that When we're looking at our obstacle, we're looking at the thing that's in our way, we're looking at whatever's happening in our life, we just sit there and go, it's too big, too massive, too whatever to get around, to get over, to get under, whatever, and we give up. Because we think we can't make it past, we can't win against it. And so we settle for going, oh well, this is as far as I go. But the blessing's on the other side. Does that make sense? Right? And see, we have the advantage. Where's Troy? Troy, come on down. You want to be at this end, buddy. Not that end, this end. Because remember, we have the Holy Spirit, do we not? And the Holy Spirit helps us out. Grab the rope. But not only that, we know that our God is a God who provides, right? We've got God's provision for us. So, Glamo, come on up. Come on, Glamo. Might as well get Joel and Michael to come up too at the same time because we're going to need them. Come on, Billy. Let's go. Remember, we've got God's provision on our side as well. So, let's just put this on for a second. You just jump on this side, all right? We have God's love for us. Do we not have God's love for us? Yep. All right, God's love for us. You jump on there. You go and help me out over there. We've got God's faithfulness because God can do, and he's been faithful all this time. Jump on that end as well. And lastly, but not least, we know that God can do anything. Right? So I'll put that one on. Right. Now, let's grab the rope. Everybody, who's winning now? Who's winning now? Like, he's never going to win this. Never going to win this. No obstacle, no thing in our lives is ever going to win. And if God really wanted to, he would just go, and the obstacle would disappear anyway. Make sense? We have the advantage. We have the advantage. Do we not? Come on, we have the advantage, do we not? It doesn't matter what we're looking at. We can beat that. And God wants us to make a move. And when we make a move, it doesn't matter what's in front of us, but our attitudes could stop us from really taking him on. You're never going to win, so give up. Go and sit down. Never going to win. We have the advantage. We have the advantage. It's a silly illustration, I know. But it gets the point across, doesn't it not? When we've got God working for us, then who can be against us? If the Lord is on our side, whom shall we fear? What should we fear? Exactly the point. See, this is it. This is, we have the advantage. And all I want to do today is to encourage you to make that move. When you look at the stories, and I'll get the keys to come up and get everyone to come up. I don't even know where I'm up to in my sermon anymore. I've closed it. When we have the advantage, right, it doesn't matter what's going on. It doesn't matter what's going on. If you look at the stories we looked at, right, we have the four lepers that are sitting outside the gate. When they went to the enemy's camp and they arrived there, right, this is in 2 Kings, I think it's chapter 7. When they went there, God had already showed up and done it. When the people of God crossed over under Joshua's leadership and crossed the River Jordan, this obstacle that was in their way, God stopped it all the way back in a town called Adam. You see, our God, when he's on our side, we have the advantage. And I just want to tell you to make the move today. Make the move. Right? Make the move. Because with God, all things are... Come on. With God, all things are... Exactly. And if he's for us, nothing can stand against us. So I just want to encourage you. Today, this series is just about encouraging you to make the move. And for some of us, it could be a move into more study. It could be a move into doing something leading in the church. It could be a move to take a different job. It could be a move to do whatever. If you're with God and synchronized, then you know what that is. Maybe today it's a move to say, God, I want to give you my life 100% in. All in. Not this dancing around Sunday, but all in. Because it's not a matter of how much Holy Spirit is in you. It's more a matter of how much of you allow the Holy Spirit to fill. Come on, that was good. That was really good. Thank you, Jesus. It's not about how much Holy Spirit's in you. It's about how much of you allow the Holy Spirit to fill. And some of us may have only got 20, 30, 50, whatever. You see, make the move today. Make the move today. Our God is a way maker. Our God is a promise keeper. Our God is the light in the darkness. Is he not? He will make ways when there is no ways. He will do miracles when we need a miracle. He will provide it for us. But we got to get this attitude of settledness out of our minds. We've got to stop thinking this is as good as it gets. For me, I see a church that is completely filled and every chair occupied. The settling view would be, well, it would just be like it is. Or we could go, you know what? God is going to bring a harvest in. Oh, but the world is just so messed up and the world is this and the world... We've got the advantage. Or maybe we're facing a situation where we've struggled in our finances for so long and we think, well, I'm never going to get on top of this, never going to get it working, never going to get it. But actually, we've got the advantage. Our thinking and our attitude is what stops the progress, it halts it in its tracks. Does that make sense? We've got to unsettle the settled today. With a simple idea. And if we can, and I could teach this idea to the cows come home, but you've got to catch it. It's not something that I could tell you and you just go, oh, yep, A, B, C, excellent, we're there. No, you've got to catch this in your spirit and believe that if you've got God in your life, you have the advantage. So let's get the team, the musicians, the singers up. Father God, today we want to just praise you because we know that you have the advantage. We have the advantage when we have you in our lives. Us plus you equals whatever you want to do. And God, some of us have not made the move because we're afraid to make the move because we think there's an obstacle in the way or there's something stopping us. But God, with you, we have the advantage. And so today, I just pray, God, that you speak into our hearts and our minds, that you tell us over and over and over again who you are. The fact that you're a God who can part seas, a God who can take out enemies, a God who can make a way and bring streams of living water out in the desert, in the wasteland places, that you're a God who could do the incredible and the immeasurable, and you could do more than we could ever ask or imagine today. We know that you are for us, so who could stand against us? Whom shall I fear? Because we have you on our side. We are the victors. We're not beat down, broken. We are the victors today. So Lord, remind us every second of every day who you are and the fact that we have an advantage over everything we will ever, ever face. God, you are so good. You are so good. Amen. If God has spoken, I want you to...